Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A Gaza ceasefire deal back on track in the Middle East.
After more than 400 days of struggle, a day of success.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, as the Israeli cabinet meets right now to formally approve this week's agreement. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Overnight, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his country had finalized its ceasefire and hostage release deal with the militant group. Still, huge blasts lit up the sky in Gaza. Dozens of Palestinians killed in Israeli strikes since the deal was first announced on Wednesday. That's according to Hamas officials. The fighting would stop under the first six-week phase of the agreement.
A hostage release could begin as early as Sunday. The Supreme Court could decide today on whether or not to uphold a ban on TikTok in the U.S., set to go into effect Sunday. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey, among senators asking President Biden to extend the sale of the Chinese-owned app for 90 days and leave the issue up to President-elect Trump.
TikTok has become an integral part of our lives, and that's 170 million Americans. That's over half of our population.
From wildfires to landslides in Southern California, burned out rubble and waterlogged soil are making hillsides unstable. One home in the Palisades was split in half. Mary Jo McCord returned to find her house burned down.
Now I'm at the point where I've accepted it, what I've lost, but I miss my home and my neighbors. Altadena is such a beautiful community. I just hope it comes back to what it used to be.
The death toll from the fires is up to 27. A polar vortex is bringing Arctic air from Siberia all the way to the U.S. Brutal cold is expected to settle in this weekend from the northern portion of the country as far south as northern Florida. President-elect Trump's inauguration Monday is set to be the coldest in 40 years. SpaceX uncrewed Starship rocket carrying 10 dummy satellites exploded after blastoff on a test flight from southern Texas. Space consultant Bill Harwood.
It appeared to break up right as it was reaching space. We don't yet know why. SpaceX promises an explanation after they look at the data.
A TV and film director who left no genre unturned has died.
My name is Margaret Lanterman. I live in Twin Peaks.
David Lynch, the man behind Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet, and The Elephant Man, was 78. Film historian Leonard Maltin.
You couldn't mistake a David Lynch film for anybody else's. His work had his fingerprints all over it, and that's part of what made him special.
Lynch spoke publicly about battling emphysema. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and windy, but it will be warmer today with highs in the upper 30s to near 40. We could catch a little bit of light rain, maybe a sprinkle or a flurry here by later this afternoon. Tonight, it's going to get much colder. It'll be windy in the single digits tomorrow. Partly cloudy, windy with a high near 10. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hearing his injury, but damn.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Well, it may be a finally Friday in January, but I'll tell you what, the temperatures we've been enjoying the past 24 hours sure don't feel like it. Welcome in, everybody. It is the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And this morning, I'm checking in from our Green Bay location. Yesterday was the 25th annual celebration of the Dairy Business Association. Had to be there for that. It was in conjunction with the 2025 Dairy Strong Conference. A lot of getting reacquainted with folks from across the state in the dairy industry. And I got to be honest, one of the items that was overshadowing a lot of our conversation, the passing of Bob Uecker. That is something I think the entire state of Wisconsin paused to recognize. We're also talking about this weather. As I said, yesterday I saw temperatures in the mid to upper 30s around the Green Bay area. I know some folks in the state saw temperatures that pushed near 40 or into the 40s. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will be along with us. Weather details on the way. Of course, today we are looking for more mild temperatures, probably in the upper 30s, but the winds are going to persist. Tomorrow, temperatures start to decline, only into the upper 20s, with, again, a persistent wind. And then Sunday, the thermometer hits the rock and starts going down pretty heavy. We'll let Stu give you the details. Up in just moments, we are going to find out about one of the more lucrative ways that farmers and landowners are trying to pay bills. It's called solar contracts. But what do you need to know before you sign it on the dotted line? Stephanie Hoff's going to join us with that one next. Talk text line is also open, 877-301-FARM. Be sure and let me know what's happening in your world this morning. Today's consumers have a lot of questions about where their food comes from and how it's produced. And that's all we talk about. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and at the Midwest Farm Report, all we do is try to make sure you've got clear information on what Wisconsin farmers are doing today to put food on your table tomorrow. It's not about eat this versus that, but instead giving you the information you need to make smart decisions as a consumer. Join us at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter.
The opportunity to add solar to your farm business is growing, but you're going to want to proceed with caution. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Kelly Wilford joins us. She's a farm law outreach specialist with the Division of Extension. She says it's important for farm families to think carefully before signing solar agreements. You'll need a cautionary lens with such a long-term commitment.
There are a lot of strong emotions around solar and other renewable energy here in Wisconsin. But what my role is to help farmers understand from the legal perspective, what do these contracts mean for their farm? Like you said, there are a lot of dollars available there, but it's not all about the money. And so we bring a little bit of what else is in that document.
Just how much solar development is happening in the state of Wisconsin?
Right now, there's right around 2,500 megawatts of solar that has been developed. So putting that into acres, it's right around 13,000 acres, give or take. But apparently, in the next 5 years, they're expecting that we'll have another 4,500 of development, 4,500 megawatts developed. So significant opportunity here in Wisconsin.
The bottom line is solar is coming. So how can we best prepare when the developers do come knocking at our door? What do developers want? You know, why did they choose your farm?
Well, when solar developers are looking for land, they're looking for flat, clear land, free of obstructions, so no trees, no buildings, no other tall objects that are going to block that sun. And they're really looking for land that is close to the other infrastructure that they need, the substation, the road, the transmission lines. So that makes farmland very attractive for solar.
You brought up something interesting in the whole process of finding land for a solar development, and that the landowner might actually be the first person to know that a development is coming.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about maybe like a downtown business in contrast, with a downtown business, they're maybe getting some permits from the town or the county before they're actually able to start operating. Here it's sort of the reverse. So before the solar development company can go to the Public Service Commission or MISO and apply for the regulatory permitting, they have to have that land already identified and under contract, which means that the landowner is going to be one of the first to know.
That might be important when it comes to the relationships you have with your town, neighbors, and community, right? I mean, if you're that first point of contact, should you be spreading the word?
Well, I can't advise you one way or another, but certainly there is an opportunity for you to reach out to your town and county. Think about what the comprehensive plan looks like. Think about what zoning is currently in place and have the conversation about, is this really the right place in our area for solar to go? What that also does is it gives the municipalities a heads up that this is coming and the ability to start negotiating their own deal with the solar developer for how it's going to impact the local community.
Now, negotiating a deal, that's kind of the steak and potatoes of our conversation today, because when you are approached with an attractive, maybe at first glance, contract, there are some considerations that you need to make before going ahead and signing on that dotted line. Can you walk me through some of the bullet points that producers need to be aware of?
I can try, and I will say there is a lot. But the one thing to keep in mind, anytime we're drafting a contract, we're drafting it to be in our best interest, right? So if I'm drafting a contract between you and I, Stephanie, I'm going to make it so that I have the better end of the deal and hope that maybe you'll just sign. And that's not saying that I'm a bad person. It's just how the process tends to work. So farmers need to be aware that they should and are almost expected to negotiate these contracts, although some developers will encourage you to sign quickly because it is better for them. But you ask the question of what are some of the things that you want to look at. You want to be clear about what the term of the contract is. How long is it going to last? How long is renewal? What dollar amounts are you going to receive for different terms, whether that's a development period, a construction period, an operating period? Think about property taxes and how they might be impacted. And really, if we're talking about farmers, you want to think about how does that agreement fit into your overall operation? Certainly, it might have some financial benefits, but there also are liabilities that come with that. And so you want to think about how you build in some liability protection, whether that's through the contract process, whether that's through a limited liability entity, but just making sure that, in short, you're sort of disaster planning, right? You want to think of all of the things that could happen or could be a problem now and agree about how we're going to handle them, because this is the time when you have the greatest negotiation power, is before you've signed that contract.
You advise farmers to seek out legal counsel maybe as soon as they see this piece of paper?
Absolutely. I think it's a good time, as soon as you see it, to try to find an attorney that understands these real estate contracts, these solar contracts. And it's helpful if they do understand a little bit about agriculture, or they've negotiated one of these for a farmer before. But even as you're having those initial conversations with the developer, take notes about the promises that are being made to you, so that when you do go to an attorney to have them look at a contract, they can match up well where the promises that were made that you took notes on, that you understand this agreement to be, are those what's actually reflected in that written contract? Because we don't want those to not match.
So can I use the land? Can I still go in there?
Well, so Wisconsin law recognizes what we call exclusive use, which typically means that if we're leasing land, we're, as the landlord, not necessarily supposed to be in there interfering with the tenant's operation. They have exclusive use. But if you are interested in some of the agricultural uses, for example, that we've talked about, like agrivoltaics, so the idea that you're maybe grazing sheep underneath the solar panels, or you're interested in having those panels spaced far enough apart that you could farm strips in between, it is something that there's a lot of research being done, and there are some possibilities of doing that, but you have to negotiate it into the contract at the front end. You're not going to have any negotiating power down the line to ask them to change their plans to incorporate that later.
You know, another point you made that I want to expand on is the timeline of one of these solar arrays. How long are these contracts typically? How long do these solar panels last? Any detail you can give us on just the time commitment?
Yeah, so what we are seeing most typically is that a lot of these contracts are structured with roughly a 3 to 5 year development period, which is the stage where the solar developer is really deciding, is this site the right site? Do we have enough land in a single area? Are we getting good sunlight here? Is it suitable for building? It's set up to be 3 to 5 years. They might be able to end that sooner and move into construction, which is typically scheduled for a 2-year period. Whether it takes a full 2 years or whether it's less than that, I don't have answers on. But typically the contracts are looking at a 2-year period for construction. And again, as soon as they're done with construction, then they're going to move into operations. And if you look at rent rates, this is usually where the real money is that operational stage. Those are typically lasting about 15 to 20 years, sometimes up to 25, but there might be renewal provisions to extend it for another 15 or 20. That might be an automatic renewal, that might be a unilateral decision by the developer, or it might be something where you both have to agree to it, but you have to read your contract to be sure.
At the end of its life cycle, what does the decommission process look like? And is that something you can negotiate in a contract as well?
It is. So we don't have a lot of answers about what decommissioning looks like, simply because we haven't decommissioned much here in the U.S. yet. But the estimates that solar developers are providing to those regulatory bodies for what decommissioning will cost are fairly high. So it is something that farmers want to be aware of so that they're not ultimately or accidentally stuck with those costs. So in your agreement, you might negotiate not only clarifying that the solar company will be responsible for decommissioning if it ever gets to that stage, but also thinking about, do they need to provide financial security, a bond, a letter of credit, an escrow account? There are a couple of different options of what that might look like, but you should be careful to negotiate that into your deal, because most of our local municipalities don't have anything requiring them to put up a bond, and we don't have anything on the state level. So it's really up to your individual contract to handle that issue. A lot of folks are also seeing offers that, well, maybe at the end of that 15 or 20 years, solar company will walk away and you can keep that. And you want to be careful with that as well, because you want to think about if you have the expertise to really manage that electric generation and what kind of shape those panels will be in. We're always thinking of what could go wrong, which is why we want to handle that decommissioning process too.
Kelly Wilfert along with us. She's a farm law outreach specialist with the Division of Extension. And you can take a look at the resources that she referenced today at the Division of Extension website. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matinair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
New leadership that took over for Edge Dairy Cooperative as well as the Dairy Business Association. More on that coming your way later this hour. Let's talk about this weather, those two. Yesterday, all of a sudden, the mild switch got turned on. I think we're supposed to enjoy some of that again today, but what about the rest of the weekend?
You're right, Pan. There's more of that mild air for our enjoyment. At least temperatures in southern Wisconsin warm up considerably. In the north, some clouds, even just a little light snow a possibility today. Oh, it's not going to be any kind of a snowstorm, but we are expecting that with the clouds, there may just be some occasional very light snow. A little more sun in the south and very mild temperatures. Madison, Milwaukee could see a 40. Everybody else will be just a little bit cooler. Now, the first cool front moving in from the northwest, dropping on through the Dakotas, heading our way, will indeed help to turn winds to the west and northwest overnight and into Saturday. The northwest winds will usher in that cold air. Temperatures cooling off, especially Saturday, and then dropping to below zero Saturday night in southern Wisconsin, possibly above zero on Sunday. For everyone else, we drop to below zero, most likely not climbing back out of that basement until into next week toward Tuesday. There's a whole lot more cold air coming, settles in for the weekend, and sticks around into the early part of next week. And aside from that very light snow today in the north, I don't expect we'll see much of that as we make our way through the weekend or even into next week. So we're going to have some pretty cold conditions here, and they will be sticking around right on into next week. Finally starting to warm up, pushing back toward normal by Thursday and Friday, so by the end of the week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
So our Compere Financial Ag weather forecast does call for partly sunny skies south. We could be close to 40 in the north. More clouds, even a few flurries, a brief snow shower. Temps in the 30s with southwest winds starting out today 10 to 20, gusting to 30, beginning to turn west and northwest late today and into tonight. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Down in the teens, maybe just a single digit in the north. The northwest winds 10 to 20, gusting near 30. And then tomorrow, clouds north, more sun south. Temps in the teens, low teens north, upper teens south. The northwest wind still strong, gusting to 20 and 30. And even Sunday, mostly sunny and cold, near zero in the south, below zero in the north. During the day, the northwest wind about 5 to 15. And like I said, Pam, I expect that cold air is going to be around, staying below zero, certainly by Sunday night. Monday, Tuesday, we may finally start to turn it around a bit and may finally see temperatures pushing back to more normal levels by Thursday and Friday. So the end of next week, we finally can start to edge back up to that normal level. So keep bundled up. We've got a cold one on the way.
So basically, enjoy what we've got while we've got it. Thanks for the advice, Stu. Have a good weekend, buddy. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Don't forget, Compere Financial's got some great free resources and free upcoming seminars that they're featuring right now. Want the details? Want to get signed up? Want to join in? It's all available online. Compere.com. Compere Financial, a part of agriculture and rural living, and all those resources available at Compere.com. Check checking in from the Green Bay location this morning. Just got done with Dairy Strong 2025. In fact, coming up, we're going to introduce you to some of the new leadership from the Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Cooperative, as well as a few other guests. And we're catching up with our friends from Focus on Energy. You're watching that thermostat. You're watching those window panes. So are they. Stick around for my conversation with Jessica Milsna on a Friday.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Israel's cabinet is meeting right now to vote on a ceasefire and hostage release deal. The BBC's John Donison is in Jerusalem.
This country is very divided on this issue. We were outside the Israeli Prime Minister's office with protesters from the far right who were saying this deal shouldn't be done.
A hostage release could begin as early as Sunday. Supreme Court could issue its opinion today on whether TikTok will be banned in the U.S. come Sunday. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey's asking President Biden to postpone it for 90 days.
A TikTok ban would impose serious consequences on millions of Americans who depend upon the app for social connections and their economic livelihood.
Death toll up to 27 in the L.A. wildfires, 31 still missing. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Pacific Palisades.
So they're looking for these individuals. This involves a grid search of the fire zones, both in Eaton and in Palisades.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. In Oh My Gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks bounce back.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks have won four of their last five games. They host the Raptors tonight. Now, they beat the Magic on Wednesday. On Tuesday, they ended the Kings' seven-game winning streak. But on Sunday, they got blown out by the Knicks. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Tonight, I thought we were high energy. The other night, we had no energy. The good part of that is it makes you know you can play against anybody. The bad part of that is if you don't have it, you can lose against anybody, and we've shown that too much.
Baseball players and coaches remembering Bob Uecker, who died after a battle with lung cancer. I asked Ryan Braun if he relied on Uecker as a confidant and friend.
Yeah, I think it always felt like a safe space when you were having a conversation with him. He was almost like a team psychiatrist or psychologist where you knew that you could talk to him about anything, you could fully trust him, you valued his feedback and his opinion, and you knew that anything that you shared, you could trust that he was going to do right by you.
That's former Brewer Ryan Braun. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jamesco, and Bar Band Friday Nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and windy, but it will be warmer today with highs in the upper 30s to near 40. We could catch a little bit of light rain, maybe a sprinkle or a flurry here by later this afternoon. Tonight, it's going to get much colder. It'll be windy in the single digits tomorrow. Partly cloudy, windy with a high near 10. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's first, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Started with the Braves in 1962.
How has he been doing it?
I don't know, man. It's crazy. From 1971 as a broadcaster for the Milwaukee Brewers until his final call.
All kinds of dairy-related news to bring to you on a finally Friday morning. More conversations yesterday about what's going on with the federal milk marketing order reform. That's what Wisconsin dairy farmers depend on when it comes to their paychecks. We've got those details. Of course, yesterday was a great day, Dairy Strong 2025, where the Dairy Business Association was celebrating their 25th anniversary. We're going to speak with the new president of the Dairy Business Association for the first time in their history. It's a dairy processor, not a dairy producer. Stand by for that information. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 17th day of January. What can I tell you? Well, on this day back in 1991, United States started Operation Desert Storm. I bet there's some of your veterans listening this morning that remember bombing of Iraq. That started on this day back in 1991. A lot of birthdays to celebrate today. We'll start off with former First Lady Michelle Obama. She turned 60 years young today. Actor, comedian Jim Carrey, the funny man, 62. Kid Rock, Michigan native. He is 53 today. Former NBA player, now NBA co-owner, Dwayne Wade. He turns 42. And now you know. You know, this is really a great time of the year for a lot of Wisconsin agriculture to get reconnected. We've got a lot of winter conferences that will unfold between now and spring planting. Yesterday, it was time for Dairy Strong 2025. Also, part of the celebration of the Dairy Business Association's 25th anniversary. New president has been selected as well. And for the first time in the association's history, it's a dairy processor leading the board. His name, Gary Siegenthaler. He's with Grande Cheese, and I got a chance to visit with him and find out a little bit more about his background and maybe more importantly, where he sees the Dairy Business Association going in the future.
Grew up on a dairy farm, Southwest Wisconsin, Lafayette County. Started working for Grande Cheese Company 35 years ago. So various roles through the course of the years, but always been a part of DBA. Historically, maybe more from an audience perspective. More recently, more from a board perspective. So I took on a board role 7 years ago. And excited to lead some of the change here that we see coming within our industry.
Now, you've got a really unique perspective because as a processor, obviously,
you want to keep the cows in Wisconsin. Make sure that milk is there. But then as somebody that's watching kind of the inner struggles of what size is right and how that did pit neighbors against neighbors sometimes back in the 90s. Tell me a little bit about what you observed and why you decided to hitch your pony with dairy business.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about DBA is it's you know, Wisconsin's a place for all. You know, we have all different sizes cheese companies as well, right?
Yeah, that's
small
true.
Small to large. So some good diversity of processors, some good diversity of producers. They're all successful. You know, we see a fair amount of reinvestment both on the processor side and the producer side. So, you know, it just continues to chart that path of excitement as we move forward.
Now, you've been through the innovation change up in the processing side of things, and now here you are as president of what has almost always been a producer-led board. Tell me about the nuances that made that happen.
Yeah, I would say probably most pronounced to me is going back 25 years, it's you know, the exchange, the milk exchange between the producer and the processor. The producer would see the milk leave the driveway, it turned right or left, they got a check every 2 weeks, they were good,
yeah.
Right? I think where we are today is there needs to be much more of an an intentional partnership and what I call producer pride and producer partnership to understand where is that milk going, right? And not just to the processing location, but who are their consumers, how are they consuming it, where does the byproduct go, really understanding the business end to end.
You know, and we just heard from another previous board member that said, now consumers' voice is getting pretty important. That's something you've had to have been tuned in through your career.
Yeah, it has been, and part of staying close to DBA allowed us visibility as to what was coming, so we could start to keep our customers in tune of dairies are going to get larger. You know, they're going to be managed from a more complex business perspective, so we could educate our end users and bring them along on the journey.
So sustainability is a big theme here at Dairy Strong 2025. A lot of the practices we're talking about, we've been doing for generations. As a processor that's forward-facing to consumers, tell me about that sustainability conversation.
Yeah, there's really two parts to that. You know, one, that, to me, it starts with business sustainability. So both the processor and the producer have to be profitable and see an opportunity for growth, right? So that's where it starts. But then, to your point, you know, being more conscious of communicating the good environmental practices that producers are currently doing and thinking about doing that have a positive impact on the environment. So consumers resonate to that.
So now you get a chance to guide the ship for a year, if not more. Tell me what Greg Siegenthaler sees as some of the real bullet points that need to be attended to in 2025 and beyond for DBA.
Yeah, back to that processor-producer connection, I think there's more intentionality that needs to take place on both parties, right? It's the processor reaching out. It's the producer reaching out to the processor. There's a lot of good things that can happen when that takes place. I mean, our company's proof of that.
Yeah.
You know, and then the components that play within, right? The environmental side, I'm very excited about. I believe our consumers are. I know our producers are as well, where they see the economic benefit to their farm. So really, really good opportunity. And I think maybe a missing hidden piece is the impact on the community, right? Their local community and for ours.
Yeah.
So just good stories to tell there together.
Good stories. That's what we're all about. Greg Siegenthaler from Grande Cheese, the new president of the Dairy Business Association, announced yesterday during the Dairy Strong Conference in Green Bay. There were other announcements that were shared yesterday as well with members of the Dairy Business Association and Edge Dairy Cooperative. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that the federal milk marketing order reform that dairy producers were not only involved in discussing as far as changes, but also involved in voting, has passed. So the federal milk marketing orders will stay in place. More details coming as far as what that means to Wisconsin dairy producers in the next few days. We'll take a quick break. Up in a moment, we'll take a look at how markets traded, perhaps because of the federal milk marketing order announcement. The numbers are just around the corner on a Friday.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Well, yesterday, perhaps because of the announcement that the federal milk marketing order reforms were accepted, our cheese market moved. Barrel cheese was up in Nicollet, 189. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday, up 6¾ at 189. While double A butter, that dropped 3¼ cents to 253.5 per pound. The Class 3 milk that goes into cheese for February was up 14 cents, 20.06. The March Class 3 milk was up 21, 19.88 a hundredweight. Everything else in the markets was lower. Yesterday, we saw December new crop corn. That's the corn that farmers will be growing this year, drop 4¼ cents to 4.52¾. November beans, what will be growing this year, dropped 18¼ to 10.20¾. July wheat that we will be harvesting this year, down 9, 5.59½. Coming up next, you got to pinch pennies where you can. Focus on Energy, here to help. And they've got new incentives for our farms in 2025. Talking about that with Jessica Milsna next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by Wiscaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wiscaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free. Plus, earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at Wiscaregiver.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Also, give them a call anytime, 800-762-7077. That's 800-762-7077. Or maybe the best way to find out what benefits Focus on Energy can offer to you is visiting with one of our Focus on Energy advisors, like our pal Jessica Milsna, joining us today. She is one of the Focus on Energy advisors that crosses the state to try to help people with projects, questions, or ideas. And just Happy New Year's. Welcome in, because there are a few new things to talk about in 2025 from Focus on Energy. Before we get to those, though, some of the folks listening may have worked with Focus on Energy in 2024. There's a looming deadline out there they have to keep in mind for reimbursement, correct?
Yes, Pam, that is correct. So if you completed a project in 2024 and have not gotten your paperwork in to your energy advisor yet, please do that by the end of January. So January 31st is the deadline to get that in.
Yeah, and that's something we were talking about last year, and we're talking about it now. Make sure that paperwork is in. Now let's talk about some of the new incentives that people might want to tap into 2025. What catches your attention first, Jessica?
Well, I think one of the biggest, positives for 2025 is that we have a lot of increased incentives that have increased from last year. So whether it's lighting, heating, cooling systems, even some of the milking equipment, irrigation equipment, make sure you check those out if there's something you're planning, and see if those incentives have increased, because that would be a great time to, you know, maybe start penciling out these projects that you're looking at.
Well, winter, like you said, for a lot of those items that you cited, winter is a great time to be doing some planning, because you're not necessarily using, for example, that irrigation system.
Right. That's a great time, you know, to like I said, start penciling that project out financial wise, and then, you know, talk to your energy advisor and see what we can offer you for financial help and then just help in general.
Now, in case you have never looked, folks, there is an agriculture equipment incentive catalog that's available online. A lot of resources, quite frankly, online at focusonenergy.com to help you improve your bottom line. Is that probably the best place to start, Jessica, before they reach out to one of the energy advisors?
Yeah, you can take a look on the website and see what is all available. But you know, really, we don't mind if you just reach out to us and say, hey, I don't know where to start on this. How do I apply for these incentives? You know, this is what I want to do. What can I get back and how do I get that?
Yeah, it is a very easy program to work with. That's the other thing I think people are intimidated by, Jessica. They're concerned about the paperwork. They're concerned about the lag time. Despite the fact that you guys have a lot of projects and very few energy advisors to handle them all the time, response time is pretty rapid, isn't it?
We do. When we're on the road, you know, we try to still take those phone calls. You know, we're still in the office 1 or 2 days a week. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to get back to you as soon as we can, within, you know, a day or two usually. Mm-hmm. And we did add another energy advisor for the ag projects this year. So we have 4 now.
Yay!
So we will hopefully be able to even better serve our agriculture customers.
And I do want to remind folks, again, Jessica Milsna, along with us, one of the Focus on Energy advisors, we do get a chance to actually physically see each other from time to time at different shows where Focus on Energy is an exhibitor, right?
Yeah, we have a booth at many of the different ag events throughout the year, especially here in this first quarter is a really busy time for us and mm-hmm. for you too, I'm sure, Pam. So yeah, come see us, see if we have a booth. Otherwise, if you're walking around, don't be afraid to stop us and ask us a question.
Beautiful. Now, one area that might get a lot of questions, some new greenhouse energy audits that are available. Energy audits are nothing new for Focus on Energy, coming to your farm and evaluating where you might find savings, coming to your agribusiness and helping with some savings suggestions. Now the greenhouse industry getting your attention. Tell me about this one, Jessica.
Yeah, so this is a new special offering that we're coming out with here in 2025. Just for greenhouses and like any kind of indoor agriculture operations. So if you work with one of the energy advisors and have an audit done, and then we'll work with you to complete what we call a project planning workbook. And then if you complete that workbook with us before you purchase any equipment for any upgrades that we identified during that audit, you can receive a 10% bonus on any projects that we identified that are completed in 2025. So a little bit extra on top of our normal incentives for any greenhouse customers if they follow those steps.
Boy, and we're seeing more of that. Like you said, it's not just a straight out greenhouse, but maybe it's a hydroponic operation or something like that. Excellent way to try to get little savings on some of those big projects. Speaking of savings, that's the other thing we need to continue to bring up time and time again, Jessica. Planning in advance, having conversations with Focus on Energy in advance of a project. If you're considering a new construction project this year, you love to be involved from the blueprints right on when it comes to energy savings.
Absolutely. The earlier the better. I like having you already. I'd rather have you, you know, down on my list for, you know, a year or two that you're planning a project rather than, oh, at the end and then we're not able to get everything qualified. So definitely at a minimum, when you get to that qualifying equipment stage, definitely bring us in so that you're aware of all the recommendations and requirements. So we can make sure that we're getting the maximum savings for you for your project.
And you really like working with the trades. I mean, as you said, if, for example, Focus on Energy is advising already when it's just blueprints, that can impact where wiring goes, where loads are going to be. I mean, talking to the trades with the trained eyes of Focus on Energy advisors can pay big dividends.
Absolutely. We work closely with those trade allies. Those can be anyone from an electrician or a plumber to, you know, a dairy equipment or grain equipment dealer, anyone that's providing equipment for your project. So we'll work closely with them. to see, you know, what equipment they have on inventory or what they usually work with and make sure that that will qualify for your project.
Jessica Milsner along with us. She is one of now four Focus on Energy advisors that are ready to assist you on existing programs. Maybe you're looking on an upgrade on irrigation pump or something like that, something change up in agriculture, dairy refrigeration, for example. Those are some of those projects you can be working on now with an energy advisor to capitalize on some of those increased incentives for 2025. As we said, if you're in the greenhouse industry, hydroponics, something like that, brand new energy audits available for you and new construction, well, get them involved in the conversation early on. How do you begin? Well, the best way, go to their website, focusonenergy.com/business, and you'll see the agribusiness tab there. You can also give them a call, and they'll be happy to direct you to one of the Focus on Energy advisors near you, 800-762-7077. 800-762-7077, or look for our friendly Focus on Energy advisors at many of our winter conferences and conventions coming up near you. Focus on Energy advisor Jessica Milsner along with us. Again, focusonenergy.com. I'm PM Yankee.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yankee.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How will ag trade be impacted under a new president? An ag economist shares his thoughts today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Tractor rollovers are one of the most common causes of farm deaths and injuries. One simple device helps reduce the danger significantly, a rollover protective structure. Standard on most new tractors, but they're also available to add to many older tractor models. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Trade is a huge part of the U.S. ag economy, and with President-elect Trump's plan to increase tariffs under his administration, farmers certainly have a stake in the matter. Matt Roberts is an independent ag economist from Ohio who says trade issues are not a new thing.
My biggest worry about the future of ag and broadly economics and human welfare is, you know, there was this long history that there'd always be one candidate who was anti-trade for president, one who was either anti-trade or maybe, you know, mildly pro-trade. But once they get into the White House, they become pro-free trade. But now what we're seeing is the third term where that didn't happen. And in fact, nobody is defending trade anymore.
Robert says regardless of the trade climate, farmers and other businesses as well are going to have their work cut out for them.
What my experience in all business people, farmers and other business, isn't do you work hard, whether or not you're successful. It's do you do the hard work? Do you do the things you don't want to do? Okay? What will define your success is the amount of energy you personally and your organization puts into doing the stuff that you don't like doing.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel's cabinet is meeting right now to vote on the hostage ceasefire agreement signed by Israel and Hamas this week. Some officials are threatening to resign if it's approved. The BBC's John Donison is in Jerusalem.
They want to get on record that they think this is a bad deal. They think the war aims in Gaza have not been achieved. They say Hamas has not been eliminated. They're very unhappy about the possibility of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, many of them convicted murderers, being released.
If approved, the first hostage release could begin Sunday. Just in from Washington, President Biden is commuting the sentences of almost 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. That adds up to a presidential record for most individual pardons and commutations. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem takes her turn before senators on Capitol Hill today in her bid to become the next home.